This is the podcast for Woodland Presbyterian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. We are maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. We hope you enjoy the message. And if you'd like to learn more about our church, look us up at woodlandpres.org. Thanks so much. May the Lord bless you.
Well, why shepherds? Right? Why shepherds? Well, when we go back in the scripture, what we see is God is always using people who are shepherds. If you go back to Abraham, who's the beginning of the nation of Israel, Abraham was a shepherd. Lots of sheep and goats. In fact, when one of the signs that God was blessing him was that his flocks kept growing. In fact, they grew so much that he and his nephew Lot, who had his own flocks, there wasn't enough land to feed all the sheep and goats. So they separated out, so there would be enough. But Abraham was a shepherd, and he was the beginning of the nation of Israel, his family. And God told him, you know, you are going to have so many offspring, it's like the stars in the sky, you won't be able to count them. But he began as just the way he made his living, basically, provided for his family, he was a shepherd. And then, one of the next big characters, Jacob ended up being a shepherd as well. In fact, one of the signs of blessing him is God multiplied his sheep more than his father-in-law, who was trying to rip him off. Shocking, isn't it? That was how he made his living, by being a shepherd of taking care of sheep. And then you go on. Moses didn't start off as a shepherd. He started off as a prince. He was living in the palace until he was 40. And then he made the mistake of murdering somebody and had to flee. Now, he was doing it to defend someone else, but still, he murdered somebody. And he had to flee. And he ended up being a shepherd for the next 40 years of his life. God didn't speak to him, as far as we know, while he was in the palace. But after he'd been a shepherd for 40 years, he was 80 years old, that's when God calls him to be the shepherd of the people of Israel, God's people, who were enslaved in Egypt, to lead them out like a shepherd, and then to provide for the care for them when they're wandering in the wilderness. David was a shepherd. You know, when God called him, when God said, Samuel, I want you to go to this guy's house, Jesse's house in Bethlehem, and one of his sons, I want you to know one of his sons is kings. Well, the one that God chose wasn't even home, because he was out taking care of the flock. He was out shepherding his family's sheep and goats, whatever they had. But David was a shepherd. All this line of shepherds. Now, why? Well, one thing to think about is this. To be a good shepherd, you've got to pay very close attention to your sheep. You've got to know a lot about each of your sheep. You know, reliable accounts. You can look this up. That shepherds will have hundreds and hundreds of sheep, and they say they know them. They know each one, like they're their kids or something. But shepherds have to know their sheep. They have to notice when they're not doing well and what needs to happen to heal them. They have to know how to lead them to good pasture. They have to know how to lead them places where it's safe for them to drink without falling in and being taken away by a rushing river. They've got to know all these very personal things about their animals, about their sheep, about their flock. And also, they've got to be ready to defend the flock. They've got to be ready to fight for the flock, even at the risk of their own lives. You know, David talks about defeating bears and lions. I don't think those are not mythology, right? He defeated bears and lions, defending the flock. And all those characteristics of shepherds are simply reflections of God, who sees himself as our shepherd. You know, we read part of our call to worship, and also the assurance of pardon, comes from Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34 is both a very sad and a very encouraging chapter. Because when you begin Ezekiel 34, it's bad news for the leaders of Israel, for the people, both the king, the priests, the Levites, all these people that are supposed to be leading Israel, taking care of God's flock, because Israel primarily is God's flock. And these people were assigned by God to be under shepherds of taking care of the flock of Israel. All their needs, right? Protecting them, leading them in worship properly, all those things and more. But here's what God says in Ezekiel 34 in the beginning. Son of man, he's talking to Ezekiel. He says, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds, the leaders of Israel. Give them this message from the sovereign Lord. What sorrow awaits you shepherds who feed yourselves instead of your flocks? These leaders who God had put in positions of leadership in Israel, they weren't looking after the flock. The flock wasn't number one on their priority list. They were number one on their own priority list. And the flock, well, they got the scraps, they got the leftovers. But certainly, these people that God is talking about, these leaders of Israel, weren't taking care of God's flock. They were taking care of themselves. They were number one. And we always have to remind ourselves, from God's perspective, God is not number one. And you go, what are you talking about? Of course he's number one. He's existed from all eternity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three of them. They did everything. They created everything. Well, here's what we know about God, though. John says, God is love. And the kind of love John's talking about there is the Greek word agape, which many of, probably all of us in here have heard and know. And it means the kind of love that puts the other first. The kind of love that puts everybody else first. And that's who God is. He is all, you know, when you stop and you really reflect on this, when you stop, when you sit down and you think about, okay, this being who really exists, it's not a myth, it's not a story, it's not true. This is reality. This is true truth. This being who's always existed from all time, from in eternity, which we can't conceive of, we can only name it, because we're trapped in time right now. But this being that's existed from all eternity, what's at the center of this being's heart, or whatever we're going to call it, or existence, identity, is love poured out on others. And obviously, we see that with Jesus, right? He came to serve. He came down to lay down his life. He came to serve others, not be served. He came down to lay down his life for the forgiveness of all our sins. We see that embodied in Jesus, like a big exclamation point to what God has already been telling his people. So when he comes and the baby his son, Jesus, is born to Mary, Mary, the first ones he wants to know on all of Israel are these shepherds. Now let's stop and think about that. Generally, back then, well, shepherds were pretty much at the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder. They weren't the ones you put on your resume if you wanted to get the job, right? They're at the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder. And a lot of times, they were considered generally, not all, but sometimes not trustworthy, because they would take their sheep and maybe go on your property to feed their sheep and goats, that kind of thing. So they're way down at the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder. But God chooses them as the first one to hear this news, and by the way, to go and spread it around Bethlehem. Now, what's up with that? Well, let's think back to what we read in Ezekiel 34. There were shepherds back then in Ezekiel's time that were feeding themselves, not the flock. They weren't looking out for the flock. They were looking out for themselves. They were bad pastors, basically. And right at this point, when these shepherds lived, when Jesus was born, the people who were supposed to be shepherding God's flock, all the religious leaders in Jerusalem and everywhere else, guess what? What a shock. They were terrible shepherds. They were feeding themselves, not the flock. They were putting, instead of helping the sheep, the flock, the people of Israel grow and be nurtured and grow strong in a relationship with God, first they were just taking care of themselves. They got rich, for one thing. And secondly, they were putting burdens on people. All sorts of rules, regulations, legal, just putting burdens on people. While they acted like they had it all together and God was very pleased with them. But in fact, as soon as Jesus shows up and starts ministering, we see their true colors, right? As we've been going through John this last year or so, what we've seen is this constant, these people who are supposed to be the shepherds of Israel, constantly attacking Jesus for doing good stuff, like healing the blind, healing people so they can walk, and they've been sick for 38 years, raising people from the dead, and they are constantly on his case because they're really bad shepherds. Why are they bad shepherds? Because it's all about them. Whereas with Jesus, it's all about God's people. It's all about these people that are suffering and not being nurtured spiritually, not being taken care of. You know, it's an open question. What if that angel had shown up? This is late at night. What if that angel had suddenly shown up in the high priest's house and said, I've got good news, great joy for you? What would the high priest have done? We don't know. What if he showed up with some of these other? We have no idea. But I'll tell you what. The fact that the Lord sent the angel and he did not send them to those religious leaders was perhaps one of the greatest votes of no confidence in someone's leadership ever. He's saying, I'm going to send this angel to people who at least are out there, know how to care for a flock and protect that flock and nurture that flock. And I don't care what the rest of the society thinks about them. I don't give a rip. And God sends the angel to them. They're out there. You know, it's good to imagine that scene. They're out there. It's quiet. You know, in Memphis or any city, you go out, it's never completely quiet. There's a FedEx plane going over. There's traffic on the street. It's never completely quiet. Back then, maybe some crickets, animal sounds, hardly any sound at all. And suddenly, this angel shows up right in their midst. And as we know, their immediate response is what ours would be. They're terrified. They're terrified. You know, we've mentioned many times that the command from the Lord through an angel or Lord himself to people throughout the scripture is, don't be afraid. Fear not. Some version of that, as we said, appears 365 times in the Bible. Once again, what an amazing coincidence. One for every day, right? But you know, that kind of repetition, it's not so much arithmetic. You ready for this, Sienna and Kieran? It's not arithmetic. Arithmetic is 2 + 2 + 2 + 2 = This is the audience participation, Brother Berger. What? Thank you, Kieran. 8. Right? 8. That's arithmetic. Geometric. 2 × 2 × 2 × 2 is what? Thank you. 16. Whoops. Twice 8. Right? Well, let me just tell you, the effect in our lives of all this multiplication of fear not is not arithmetic. It's not like fear not plus fear not plus fear not. But rather, when we are listening to the Lord, Him saying this, the effect in our souls is geometric, is multiplied. It's deepened. It's brought even further in. Because, you know, the Lord doesn't say fear not because there's nothing to be afraid of. Oftentimes there is something to be afraid of. But in all situations, when He's fear not, He wants that to go deep into our souls so that the next week when something scary happens, we are living out of that previous fear, that series of fear nots, be not afraid, that have been building up in our soul. So that we are walking with Him, our good shepherd, with the experience of knowing that the reason we don't need to be afraid is because He's taking care of us. He's our shepherd. He's providing. He's taking care of us. And He's well aware, way more than any shepherd of sheep knows their own flock. He knows us individually. He does know our names. He knows us inside and out. And the great part of that is He loves us completely. Whether we've responded to Him or not, He loves us completely. And He's always working for our best. When He came to these shepherds, when the angel was sent to these shepherds, the message was absolutely crystal clear. God cares about everybody on this planet. And especially those who everybody else might think aren't important. He says, no, they are very important. And I'm going to prove it. They're the first ones who are going to hear the news about Jesus. And they do. You know what? We don't know what the high priests, we don't know what the Levites would have done. Would they have gotten up in the middle of the night and headed out to Bethlehem? Or would they said, you know, I'll check it out in the morning. It's a little bit late, right? Maybe not safe to travel at night. I don't know. Just want to get some more sleep, and then I'll be fresh in the morning. No, these guys drop what they're doing. And by the way, they leave their sheep out there. That's their livelihood. Something bad could happen to those sheep. My guess is some of those angels were there shepherding those sheep while they were gone. That's not biblical, that's Mike, right? But I'm convinced those sheep were safe. They drop what they're doing and they go. They drop what they're doing, they don't wait. And you know, I think there is no place for emotional manipulation or anything when we're talking about a relationship with Jesus and a relationship with the living God, because I really don't think God does any of that kind of manipulation. He says, I love you, this is who I am, and I want you in my family. I've made a way through Jesus for all your sins to be forgiven, and now there's just an open invitation for you to come. But I don't think he manipulates. I don't think he uses any kind of that kind of emotional. I don't like being manipulated. I don't think anybody does. He simply extends the offer. And with these shepherds, he extends an offer that surely they did not fully understand. But they knew enough. They went to Jesus. They went to see Jesus. And then, after seeing him, because, you know, Jesus was certainly, I'm guessing, in all of Bethlehem, the only baby lying in a feeding trough, because that's what the manger was. After they find him, they go out and they tell everyone who will listen this story, this astonishing story. And then they go back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, because it was just as the angel had told them. The angel went to them, and you know, in the same way, the Lord comes to us in different ways. I've never had an angel. Well, I think I might have met an angel once, but helping me out with the problem. But generally, you know who the angels are? Look around. Everybody here who has welcomed Jesus, because you know what angel means? It just means messenger. That's all it means. And now we get to be God's angels, God's messengers, with this good news to anyone who will listen, to anyone whom we can share the story. And you know what? In that way too, in our own little way, with our little sphere, whatever our sphere of influence in, we're being good shepherds too. Because God looks down in this world and the whole flock is his. Every human being. There's no one he wants lost. He doesn't want any human being lost. He wants every one of them in his family. Let's keep our eyes open for the sheep, the lost sheep that God wants us to have an influence on, and letting them know about Jesus, just like the shepherds did here. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to this message from Woodland Presbyterian Church, maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. If you would like to learn more about our congregation, please visit us at woodlandpres.org. God bless you today.